The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues for the next half hour. I'll be reading articles, at least initially, from the Harvard Heart Letter. This is the Harvard Heart Letter of February 2025, and the first article is entitled, Five Heartfelt Gift Ideas for Valentine's Day. Treat your sweetheart, friend, family member, or yourself to a present that cultivates cardiovascular health. On February 14th, a day symbolized by hearts and dedicated to love, give that special someone a present that shows you care. Or treat yourself to one or more of these five gift suggestions, all of which are designed to make it easier and more enjoyable to follow the cornerstones of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Eating well, getting regular exercise, sleeping soundly, and managing stress. Dr. Beth Freites, a lifestyle medicine coach and associate professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School, explains why and how these gifts encourage habits that benefit the heart. The first is a cooking class. Making home-cooked meals is one of the best things you can do for your cardiovascular health. Research suggests that people who eat more meals made at home tend to weigh less and have healthier cholesterol and blood sugar values compared with people who eat out frequently. You can control the amount of saturated fat, salt, and sugar in food you make yourself. You'll also avoid the preservatives, additives, and dyes found in convenience foods, like frozen dinners and other processed foods, says Dr. Freites. For people who feel they don't have the time or skills to prepare a healthy food, a cooking class can help. A great place to start is a single class or series of classes about Mediterranean cooking, or a similar cuisine that highlights heart-healthy ingredients, vegetables, fruits, whole grains, healthy fats like extra virgin olive oil or canola oil, and plant-based proteins like nuts and seeds, legumes and tofu, or fish or chicken for those who choose animal protein. Taking cooking classes together is a wonderful way to bond, to have some fun, and to nourish your body, says Dr. Freites. Once you hone your skills and grow more comfortable making meals, cooking can also be a great way to express your creativity. Some restaurants, supermarkets, and cookware stores offer on-site cooking classes. Alternatively, you can check local community colleges and colleges or search online. The second suggestion is strawberries dipped in dark chocolate. Both strawberries and dark chocolate contain beneficial plant compounds called flavonoids, which are thought to improve cardiovascular health by relaxing blood vessels, improving blood sugar and cholesterol levels, and discouraging blood clots. Studies have linked diets rich in flavonoids to a lower risk of heart attack and related problems. Chocolate-dipped strawberries are a classic Valentine's Day gift, and they're also delectable, says Dr. Freites. Look for those made with dark chocolate, which tends to have a higher flavonoid content than milk chocolate. Better yet, buy your own high-quality dark chocolate and berries and make them yourself, or maybe even together with your Valentine, she suggests. The third possibility would be custom-fit sneakers. If people walk, jog, or hike in shoes that don't fit properly, they can run into problems, says Dr. Freites. For example, ill-fitting shoes can cause blisters, put pressure on bunions, or leave you vulnerable to plantar fasciitis, which is inflammation of the fibrous band of tissue on the bottom of the foot, and Achilles tendonitis, which is inflammation of the tendon connecting the calf muscle to the heel. Some experts recommend replacing your walking shoes at least every 300 to 500 miles, which translates to a new pair every 6 to 12 months if you regularly walk about 3 miles per day. Treat your Valentine to an outing to your local specialty running store where you'll find the best selection and expert advice about footwear options. Many running stores sell walking shoes, and you can even wear running shoes for walking. Outdoor equipment stores may be your best bet for hiking boots. It's well worth the investment of time and the possibly higher price tag to have a knowledgeable staff member help you select a well-fitting shoe to suit your needs. Be sure to try on several different brands and styles and take them for a test walk or jog around the store. A fourth possibility is luxury sleep products. Getting at least 7 hours of sleep every night is vital for cardiovascular health. Insufficient sleep can raise your risk for weight gain, diabetes, high blood pressure, and heart disease. Creating a sleep sanctuary that's quiet, dark, and comfortable can make it easier to fall and stay asleep. A variety of accessories and products may help to improve slumber, but it's important to know the preferences of your intended recipient. So ask questions or drop hints to gather clues. Some people might like a sleep machine that provides white noise or a recording of soothing sounds like falling rain, croaking frogs, or chirping crickets. Others might appreciate luxurious, high thread count sheets, a silk pillowcase, or lavender-scented bath salts for a pre-slumber soak. If outside lights or early morning sunlight curtails sleep time, consider light-blocking curtains or shades. An eye mask made of soft, breathable material, like cotton or silk, is another option. Then another suggestion is a subscription to a meditation app. Meditation and mindfulness have been shown to lower blood pressure, decrease levels of the stress hormone cortisol, and increase heart rate variability, all of which are linked to better heart health. A regular meditation practice can help you to better manage stress, which is an unavoidable part of life, says Dr. Freites. Because meditation doesn't come naturally to most people, guidance and coaching from an in-person or online class really helps. A more convenient option is a subscription to a meditation app that you can listen to on your smartphone at your leisure. Popular meditation apps include Headspace, Calm, Insight Timer, and Happier. Most offer a free trial period, so you could send sign-up links to a few that you think your Valentine might enjoy, and then offer to treat them to a year-long subscription. Now, here's a useful question, again from the Harvard Heart Letter, in the section asked called Ask the Doctor with Dr. Christopher Cannon, MD. What are the risks from taking statins? This is a very common question almost all my patients ask me. Let me start by explaining the risk of elevated LDL cholesterol, the problem that statins were designed to treat. A large body of research shows that the high LDL is one of the leading risk factors for heart attack, stroke, and death from heart disease. In addition, hundreds of studies have shown that lowering LDL decreases all of those risks, as well as reducing the need for bypass surgery and stents. Diet and lifestyle changes can sometimes lower LDL, but they may not be sufficient to override the genetic factors that can cause high LDL. That's when medications can be helpful. Because statins have been on the market for so long, the side effects are well known. About 10% of people develop muscle aches, which disappear when they stop taking the drug. Depending on the dose, statins also increase the risk of developing diabetes by 10 to 35%. Possibly by preventing your body's insulin from working well, which causes blood sugar to rise. This side effect is most common in people with obesity and prediabetes, who are already prone to developing diabetes. Regardless, the cardiovascular benefit of a statin for those high-risk patients outweighs the risk of diabetes. In addition, If testing shows that a person's blood sugar is rising after they start taking a statin, the problem can be averted by switching to a different medication that also lowers cholesterol. These medications include Zetia or ezetimibe, one of the PCSK9 inhibitors like Praluent or Repatha. Praluent is spelled Praluent. Repatha is Repatha. The scientific names for these are alirocumab and evolocumab. Then there's Leqvio, L-E-Q-V-I-O, Nexletol, N-E-X-L-E-T-O-L, and Welcol. These medications have the scientific names inclisiran, bempedoic acid, and colesevelam. Leqvio is L-E-Q-V-I-O, Nexletol is N-E-X-L-E-T-O-L, and Welcol is W-L-C-H-O-L. Concern about statin effects on the brain, like cognitive impairment or dementia, are unfounded. Many large trials of statins have specifically tested and found no decrease or increase in cognitive function over time. One thing many people don't realize is the decision to take a statin does not depend solely on their LDL value. Ideally, your doctor will use a calculator, like the one at www.health.harvard.edu/heart-risk, that assesses your risk of heart attack or stroke using factors like your age, sex, whether you have diabetes or high blood pressure, and whether you're a smoker. People at very low risk don't need a statin, while those at high risk will very likely benefit from the drug. For those who fall somewhere in between, heart imaging tests may be helpful for clarifying the degree of risk. And now here's another interesting article from the Harvard Heart Letter. This one is entitled White Coat Hypertension, a cause for concern. Blood pressure that's high in the doctor's office but normal at home should be taken seriously. Named for a white coat traditionally worn by doctors, white coat hypertension refers to blood pressure that's high only when measured in a healthcare setting. These blood pressure spikes are presumed to be triggered by anxiety and stress, but are they just harmless blips or something more concerning? According to a 2024 review in Current Hypertension Reports, white coat hypertension is linked to a small but definite increase in heart-related risk. People with white coat syndrome, as it is also known, are also prone to develop full-time high blood pressure, defined as a reading of 130 over 80 millimeters of mercury or higher. Diagnosing white coat hypertension requires people to check their blood pressure outside of the doctor's office. One option is ambulatory blood pressure monitoring, which uses a device that automatically measures and records blood pressure every 15 to 30 minutes over a 24-hour period. Another is using a home blood pressure monitor, which Dr. Randall Zussman, a cardiologist at Harvard-affiliated Massachusetts General Hospital, recommends for all his patients. Everyone's blood pressure fluctuates constantly throughout the day, so checking it at different times, ideally over a week or two, provides a more accurate assessment of your blood pressure. For more on the benefits of home blood pressure monitoring, see Can You Self-Titrate Your Blood Pressure Drugs? In the September 2024 issue of the Heart Letter. White coat hypertension is defined as a reading in the doctor's office of greater than 130 over 80, but less than 160 over 100, and an average daytime blood pressure reading outside of the office of less than 130 over 80. So if home monitoring reveals mostly normal blood pressure readings, you may not need treatment. But if you capture some strikingly high readings, these intermittent spikes might still be damaging your cardiovascular system, even if your daily average is less than 130 over 80, says Dr. Zussman. In 2019, a large study found that people with untreated white coat hypertension face a greater threat of heart disease than people whose blood pressure readings are always normal. However, people who were taking blood pressure medication but whose blood pressure still rose at the doctor's office did not have a higher risk of heart disease. So who warrants a closer look? Doctors don't always agree about who should be checked for white coat hypertension. As far as treatment goes, lifestyle changes are vital for anyone with an elevated office blood pressure reading, says Dr. Zussman. For people who are overweight and mostly sedentary, fully committing to those changes may be all they need to reach and maintain a healthy blood pressure. But for people with diabetes, high cholesterol, and other factors that put them at risk for heart attack or stroke, doctors usually recommend starting blood pressure medication right away. If someone's reluctant to take medication, Dr. Zussman often does a heart ultrasound, an echocardiogram. The test can reveal possible thickening of the heart's main pumping chamber, the left ventricle, which is a telltale sign of damage from high blood pressure. This testing isn't specifically endorsed by guidelines, but I find the information helpful when discussing the implications of intermittent hypertension and trying to determine the possible need for drug therapy, says Dr. Zussman. And now here's some short articles from the section called Research We Are Watching, again from the Harvard Heart Letter. And the first short article is entitled, To Lower Blood Pressure, Even 5 Minutes of Exercise Helps. Adding just 5 minutes of exercise to your day may slightly lower your blood pressure, a new study finds, published online in November 2024 by Circulation. The study included 14,761 people who wore activity trackers continuously for a full week. On average, they spent about 7 hours a day sleeping, 11 hours a day being sedentary, 3 hours standing, 1.5 hours walking slowly, 1 hour walking fast, and 16 minutes doing exercise, like running, cycling, climbing stairs, or walking uphill. Researchers then analyzed the data with statistical models that accounted for other factors that influence blood pressure, like age and smoking. They found that replacing any less active behavior with 5 minutes of exercise daily could lower systolic blood pressure by 0.68 points and diastolic blood pressure by 0.54 points. Spending more time exercising lowered blood pressure even more. Swapping sedentary behavior for 20 to 27 minutes of exercise reduced cardiovascular disease by up to 28% at the population level. Now here's another article from the Research We're Watching section that's entitled, Going Vegan May Help Your Wallet as Well as Your Heart. Both Mediterranean-style diet and vegan diet can help stave off heart disease, but the latter is more affordable, according to a small study published November 2024 in JAMA Network Open. The study included 62 people randomly assigned to follow a low-fat vegan diet consisting of fruits, vegetables, grains, and beans, or a Mediterranean diet which focused on fruits, vegetables, legumes, fish, low-fat dairy, and extra virgin olive oil. After 16 weeks, they resumed their regular diet for a month before switching to the opposite diet for another 16 weeks. To estimate food costs, researchers relied on participants' diet records, which were linked to a federal database of national food prices based on the Consumer Price Index. On average, the vegan diet cut food costs by 19%, compared with a standard American diet that included animal products. The Mediterranean diet was slightly more expensive, about 60 cents more per day, than the standard American diet. Following a vegan diet could save nearly $900 per day compared with the Mediterranean diet, according to the study authors. And finally, here's a short article entitled, Work Stress is Linked to Poor Heart Health. People who report work-related stress were more likely than those without that stress to have poor measures of heart health, a new study finds. The study was based on data collected between 2000 and 2004 from a multi-ethnic group of 3,579 adults aged 45 to 84 in the United States. Research assessed their cardiovascular health based on seven metrics: smoking, physical activity, body mass index, diet, total cholesterol, blood pressure, and blood sugar. Each metric contributed 0 points, 1 point, or 2 points for a range of 0 to 14 points. 20% of the participants said they experienced work-related stress. After adjusting for confounding factors, the researchers found that those people had 25% lower odds of having average scores 9 to 10 points and 27% lower odds of having optimal scores 11 to 14 points compared with people without work-related stress. The result confirms earlier findings and supports the importance of workplace wellness programs designed to manage stress, according to the study authors. This was published in November 2024 in the Journal of the American Heart Association. Now, briefly, here's another article entitled, Getting Fiber While Avoiding Gluten. Fiber-rich diets are linked to a lower risk of heart attack and stroke. Some of the strongest evidence for fiber's cardiovascular benefits relates to eating whole grains, like whole wheat and oats. But what if you follow a diet free of gluten, the sticky protein found in wheat, rye, and barley? This diet is essential for people with celiac disease, a digestive disorder caused by an immune reaction to gluten. But many people who don't have celiac disease follow a gluten-free diet because they experience uncomfortable digestive issues and other problems after eating gluten. If a gluten-free diet isn't done well, it may be low in fiber, B vitamins, and other nutrients, says registered dietitian Melinda Dennis. Many gluten-free products like bread, buns, cereal, cookies, and crackers, as well as pasta, are made with highly refined starches, like potato starch, tapioca starch, and white rice powder, which don't contain any fiber. And unlike wheat flour, these substitutes are not enriched with B vitamins. Gluten-free products may also contain more fat, salt, and sugar than their wheat-based counterparts. Perhaps not surprisingly, people who go gluten-free often experience both constipation and weight gain. To avoid these problems, Dennis has three suggestions. First, you should follow a gluten-free version of the Mediterranean diet. The heart-healthy Mediterranean diet is already mainly gluten-free, so it's easy to adapt. Eat plenty of vegetables, fruits, and legumes, along with moderate amounts of seafood, poultry, and dairy. Choose healthy fats like olive or canola oil. Limit sweets, red meat, and processed meat. omit gluten-containing grains, like bulgur, couscous, and farro. For suggestions, the article has a menu attached. Also, you should rotate gluten-free whole grains. People who avoid gluten often rely on corn, rice, or potatoes. But there are six whole grains: amaranth, buckwheat, millet, sorghum, teff, and quinoa, which are superior choices. These grains used to be hard to find, but they're now widely available in mainstream supermarkets. If you're not familiar with them, choose one and mix in a small amount when you cook rice. For breakfast, have a bowl of buckwheat groats or cream of buckwheat topped with fruit, nuts, and maple syrup. Like oats, buckwheat helps to lower cholesterol. Try adding gluten-free grains to soup or chili. Toast them lightly and sprinkle them on a green salad. Rotate them into your meals on a regular basis. Each of the Super 6 grains has a smattering of different B vitamins and minerals, which can improve your overall nutritional profile even more than eating wheat. And it also suggests that you fill up on fiber-rich fruits, vegetables, legumes, nuts, and seeds, because these are generally gluten-free foods and contain a mix of both insoluble and soluble fiber. Well, it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.